are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, and welcome back. We have a serious issue that's going on in North America right now that ostensibly deals with the African community, but if you give a damn about social justice, it should matter to everybody. A young man in Florida, state of Florida, Trayvon Martin, in 2012, under a black president, we shouldn't be hearing cases like this. Now, this young man was carrying a package of Skittles in Sanford, Florida, near Orlando. He was 17, unarmed, shot to death by a self-appointed neighborhood watch captain. Now, from what we understand, this is a gated community that his father lives in. It was a visit. And 17-year-old high school junior, I mean, he did everything. I mean, he was obviously raised well, and he kept him busy. Dirt bike racing. I'm reading here from BET.com. Dirt bike racing, horseback riding, football, basketball, baseball. He liked to go to the movies. He was looking at Bethune-Cookman University. He was looking at the University of Central Florida. He was looking at Florida A&M University. He wanted to become an aviation mechanic. And they said he had a lot of friends. He was a good, normal kid. Came from a steady family. But it turns out that this individual who at first... They were saying, okay, he was a white guy. Now they're saying that he's half Mexican. They're starting to water down this issue. We were told at first that Trayvon Martin was shot once. Now we're hearing, after the 911 call has been released, that he was shot twice. We're hearing now that he screamed for his life. Where does this end, brothers and sisters? You know, how much more has to happen before it will take the United States President Barack Obama to say something to his people? How much longer? How many things have to happen? Now, as I was saying to my guests before we came in here, you know, I'm totally supportive of the gay community. I'm totally supportive of you know, everybody, man. But he came out and he made a video for them to deal with that particular issue, to deal with the concern and the fear and what have you that runs through that community. It was the correct thing to do. I'm not knocking that. He comes out for AIPAC, he comes out for Israel all the time, as if they need defense. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he makes promises to them that he speaks to the Spanish-speaking community, especially of immigrants here. And, you know, he's throwing them out left and right. He's doing it, but he's throwing out more Spanish-speaking immigrants than any U.S. president in history. And we also, I'm including in this, Bush the Second. Mm-hmm. He's outdoing him in terms of removing non-white people from the United States. Mm-hmm. He is a black man. This is where he's at. But even when he goes to them, he doesn't lecture them. He doesn't lecture the Jewish community. He doesn't lecture whoever. But when he went to the NAACP, he told us to get up off our asses, to stop being lazy, stop complaining, stop making excuses, and go forward. Well, how the hell are we supposed to go forward, Brother Maurice Muhammad, if we can't even allow our children to go to the store to get a bag of Skittles in a gated community? How are we supposed to move forward? And then this is supposed to be the leader of the country. If he can't lead black people, then lead America. But he can't say anything about this. And I'm sorry, I've been talking too much. Brother Muhammad, please tell me what is on your mind when it comes to this situation.
Yes, thank you. And thank you again for allowing me to come on the radio show. I love it. and I'm listening to every show that you always have, and they're always a blessing. This thing with Obama and his lack of duty, his lack of responsibility to our community, it's a failure on many parts. And when we're thinking about the Trayvon Martin case, by him, the daddy living in a gated community, we have to understand. When I listen to the 911 tape and I hear the little brother hollering for help and screaming, and you hear the shot go off, I immediately begin to cry, because I'm imagining the horror, the terror that he was going through, not even expecting that he would even have to go through anything like that, because he's in a good white neighborhood. Oh, man. For him to be dead now, 21 days, and the guy is not locked up, he's still free to roam and do whatever. And we have President Obama, who has failed to mention anything after the Skip incidents, when he opened his mouth on that, and they put him in this place. That taught him, don't go out there again. So because that taught him not to go out there again on our issues, him being the good dog that he is, he refuses to go out. At some point, you have to grow up and understand that I'm a man. I don't have to bow down to this person. I don't have to bow down to that person. We elected him. Black people went out to the polls like everybody else, and we voted for this man more than anybody else. He held our hopes. He held our dreams. The pride of having your first black president in the office. And then you look at our social justice issues that he don't speak on, that he don't do nothing about, that he could open his mouth and use his bully pulpit to say something our way, besides shut up and put on your marching shoes. When we have to look at that and understand that we voted you in that office, and you are such of a damn coward that you can't open your mouth and speak to our issues, then what the hell are you there for? You're not there really for us, and we have to be able to understand it and call it out. And for those people like Al Sharpton that want to rush to his cover and want to try to prop him up like he's really doing something for us, that cuts out them. Because what he's doing, what they're doing, is covering for them at our expense. And we have to have enough of self-preservation and enough of self-love to say, you're not going to do that at our expense. And let the chips fall where they may. We ain't got nothing from any other president, so we ain't going to get nothing from this one. So since we're not going to get nothing from this one, it doesn't matter to hold our tongue. Say what we got to say and put things in place to hold these people accountable for the wrongs that they do. What this shooting proves to us, that we already knew our lives don't have any value to these type of people. It just doesn't have any value. You're in a gated community, a majority white community. You are one of the callers and her husband on the phone. You can hear him, and you hear him out there hollering, and the man can't even stick his head out there to say, hey, what the hell are you doing to this boy? When you listen, the lady says, it's a child. But the man can't look out and say, hey, that shit from in front of my door. What are you doing? Where is the humanity?
Yeah, something. Say something, you know.
Where is it? How can you just sit there and hear this little boy crying like that? Help me, help me. You don't want to do nothing. We're not dealing with a person that in South Central Watts or a bad neighborhood where you know, when normally when they kill us, when the police kill us, they throw out that rap sheet that say we've been to jail for this, that, nothing, which is all irrelevant to why we got killed when we shouldn't have. Here you got this young man, like you said, was a good young man. He was doing what he should have been doing. But because our value, our life, they don't place no value on our life, it's okay. Now, if the roles were switched, I don't give a damn what kind of defend yourself law you got. That, if that was a black person would be in jail right now.
Oh, with a swiftness.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we have to be able, I understand the family. I understand the family and I agree with them. But to the father, for him to think and say that, you know, the police, he felt that the police betrayed their family. We have to understand that the police was never part of our family in the first place. The police was never a part of us for they to have our loyalty or for we to feel like they're going to have some loyalty to us. You know, that never existed. So my question to the father would be, or my statement would be, wake up to the reality that this ain't yours. They don't see you. They don't see you as a citizen. They see you as a potential problem, and you better stay in your box or we will manage you. And we have to understand that. So don't think just because your son died wrongfully that these people is going to try to do right by you. You got to make them do right by you. And if you don't have the testicles to make them do right by you, allow those who don't have a problem with it to go and let them do what needs to be done. And I guarantee you, once we start thinking and being on that level, this kind of crap will cease, because in their mind it's going to be, what will the response be if I do this? Back in I think it was 67 or 63, the mafia and the Nation of Islam was about to come to blows. And if you can go back and research it, in Time Magazine, they did the story where one of the FOI beat a mob boss son with a bat. And they were discussing it, and it was on FBI tape, because they recording this conversation. And the mafia people was like, well, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go get him, beat him up, cut him up, and blame it on some other niggas. And they was like, well, yeah, that's good. We can do that. Then he said, but wait a minute. This guy who did that is a black Muslim. They, everybody said, well, hold. Let's wait up.
Let's wait up.
Exactly. Let's wait up. Let's not be hasty to do this. Let's just, you know, let's give some time.
Yeah, and let's point out something, like, if I can interrupt you for a second, let's point out something at this juncture, that the Nation of Islam, I can say this, the Nation of Islam, the fruit of Islam are a group of disciplined men.
Yes.
I've seen them in action. I've seen them clear drug dealers out of neighborhoods, and they don't carry weapons.
Right.
It's the best security you can get. And I would not be surprised, and I don't think you would either, brother, if it turns out that the FOI ends up around the family of Trayvon Martin surrounding this.
Exactly.
If, you know, exactly. If they decide to, actually, from what I understand, their attorney, the family's attorney, has he says that they're going to push on with this. But, you know, again, and, you know, Brother Muhammad and I, you know, want everyone here to understand this. You know, this isn't about religion. This isn't even about race.
Nope.
It's about how African people have been treated in this country and how we're still being treated. And here it is, we're under a black president. The second black president, if you really want to give Clinton that, because, you know, people were trying to play semantics and play mind games with the African community. Because Bill Clinton was the one who signed in the new crime bill. that made racial profiling legal in the United States. He put more of us in there through the crack laws than anybody else. That's what really got that rolling. So, you know, we need to consider who our friends are.
Exactly.
Who are not our friends, you know.
Exactly.
And really be clear about this. And, you know, look at, you know, this idea of the first genetic black president. And we have this young man who was just had his life ripped from him. And, you know, the lawyer has found out that they would, that the police are saying in Sanford, Florida, that this cat has a, this watch captain, a self-appointed watch captain, has a squeaky clean record. But the lawyer found out that he does not have a squeaky clean record. He was detained in 2005 in Orange County on charges of resisting arrest with violence and battery on a law enforcement officer.
And that goes back to show that they don't care. They gonna shine him up, put the best face out there to say he's an upright, standing, law-abiding citizen who felt threatened. So, you know, he was within his right to shoot and kill. Ain't no way in the world.
Well, I mean, this young man, it was just like a little bit more than 100 pounds, and this cat outweighed him by, you know, I don't know what. I mean, if he needed to physically stop him, he could have. But even then, the 911 call, the operator told him to stand back.
To
stand down. That is not your job. You made the call. We're sending a unit. Stand down. And he decided that he was going to defend his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We're speaking to Brother Minister Maurice Muhammad down in Memphis, Tennessee. And right now we're talking about the Trayvon Martin case because we're both just disgusted by this. But we're going to get into a couple other things, including the Coney 2012 case and how this all relates, because it is connected. And again, the underlying current to all of this is we are dealing with this sort of nonsense in 2012 under a black president. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. aboriginalpress.blogspot.com.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
You have Sam Millsap, who's a prosecutor. You have people who support the death penalty and people who are against the death penalty on the same side in a case saying this is an abomination. You cannot kill people like this, because if you kill Troy Davis, you're going to expose the system and you're going to shut it down. You know, and that's what this case is about.
The Downing Street memo is relevant. The facts on the ground tell us there were no WMDs in Iraq and no links to 9/11. So was the president misinformed about these issues? Or was intelligence being fixed to support an invasion? To read the Downing Street memo, or for news and information about it, go to the website afterdowningstreet.org.
My name is Nicholas Soames. I'm the Member of Parliament for Mid-Sussex, and I am the grandson of Winston Churchill. I've decided to lend my strongest possible support to this campaign because I am appalled by the dishonesty and the disgraceful way in which the British National Party have used Churchill's name, particularly during the European election, where they used his face, his features, his words as promotional literature, trying to pretend that Churchill would have admired and supported the aims of the British National Party. What they have done is not only dishonest and irresponsible, but it's downright misleading to try and pretend that Churchill would have had any sympathy with the British National Party whatever, he would, I can assure you, have loathed everything that they stand for. Churchill led a national government. He was acutely conscious, as Britain's war leader, of the need to have a national government, to bring all parties together. And yet what the BNP seek to do is to divide all parties, to bring division and upset and lack of coherence to our communities by driving wedges between people. That is the exact opposite of everything that Churchill wanted to do in the national government. This is a peaceful country, and what they bring to it is uncertainty, fear, and confusion. There is absolutely nothing that is British about the BNP.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
Hey yo, what's up y'all? This is DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid, giving y'all a Wild Style shout out. You're rolling with a podcast that's licensed under the Creative Commons license. So I just want to say, check it, download it, remix it, transform it. This is all about the Wild Style remix. So, once again, Creative Commons, y'all, DJ Spooky, Wild Styles in your area, Subliminal Minded.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to the angry Indian non-intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
My name is Gordon Hill. I'm from the Kwakwaka'wakw Nation in northwest coast of so-called British Columbia, Canada, and you're listening to Radio Intelligent Indigenous.
This is the Angry Indian, and welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from radioforall.net. And we are also blogging this podcast from our Feedburner RSS feed at Fourth World Radio. And we are carried by an ever-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. For more information on the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspaper, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You may also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk. And you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Welcome back, my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative elements staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all that, take the time to listen to this show on the sly anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, and we're speaking with Brother Minister Maurice Muhammad. We're just looking at the Trayvon Martin case, trying to get it through our own, rationalize in our own heads why our people are not raising hell from coast to coast about this, demanding some sort of redress. Peacefully, of course, logically, always, but some sort of communal response. We are also asking, where is the supposedly non-racist white community that will jump up and down like a banshee about, this isn't a racist country, white people are not bigoted, you're the real racist, this, that, and the other. Then explain yourself on this. Explain your apathy. Explain your silence. Where are the marches? Where are the boycotts? Where is the Occupy movement in terms of Trayvon Martin? Now, one of the other things we're seeing right now, I mean, the African in the Americas is really having, and in the motherland, is really having his ass kicked up over his shoulders. I mean, what the hell was going on? You have Trayvon Martin, and then we have the controversy behind the Coney 2012 film. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and close-minded lurkers. I have not seen the film yet. You know, for the simple fact that I've read so much, I don't want to be one of the 7.7 million suckers that saw it. You know, but my wife has looked at it and she found it interesting. But then she also said, you know, when you look at it a second time and you take a closer look, that there's something not right about it. And, you know, she didn't really go into an analytical thing about it, but she just like it just left a bad taste in her mouth. And now we have Bill Maher, who is saying pretty much what the black community is saying. Here are some more suburban white kids who have decided for themselves, amongst themselves, that they're going to save Africa. And they're going to save Africa by belittling Africans. And, you know, Brother Muhammad has sent me some material, too. And if you want to get into that, brother, on, you know, how the community has been responding to this internationally. And I do want to point out before he gives an answer that if you notice the difference between how the American African community responds to an issue as opposed to our brothers and sisters in the homeland, in the motherland respond. When the Coney video came out, the sisters, the activists jumped on it right away. They didn't hesitate. They gave an analysis quickly. Their essays and their editorials started to come out about this. So our brothers in the lower 48, you know, you really need to get a grip and start to take a deep breath and understand where we are here politically in terms of the international scene. We look extremely weak. And I also have to say before Brother Muhammad answers, and I know I'm talking too much, but it's on my mind, the photo op, Brother Muhammad, of Governor Jan Brewer sticking her face like a plantation mistress in the face of her house slave on the tarmac. Your thoughts?
You know, brother, that was something that was just amazing. You know, I think what we have to understand is, you know, that we are truly at war and our survival as a people is at stake. As America goes through her autumn, America is truly living on borrowed time. And if America is living on borrowed time, then we're on borrowed time as well. And we have to be able to understand that sacrifices must be made. When President Obama, as the highest or the most powerful man in the free world, gets a finger pointed in his face by this white woman, and it's broadcasted all the way around, what it's saying is, we keeping our nigga in check. And when Benjamin Netanyahu, not this last time, but time before that came, and he lectured President Obama on national TV in his own house to his face, the thing went on the news, and then the white broadcasters were saying, Netanyahu talked to him like he was a boy. But he's supposed to represent the most powerful person on the planet. And it does make us look bad. And I sent out a message also saying it made us look very weak. There is no way in the world that you should be able to sit there or stand there and let her talk to you like that. But he don't see himself evidently as being that powerful where he can speak up for himself and he can say what needs to be said. Because when the mayor of Las Vegas told him, don't you come here no more, we don't want you here, he don't respond. He don't back up and open his mouth. When they called him a liar during the State of the Union, the first one when they said, you lie, and you could see it on his face. The difference between this type of black man and a normal brother that would have said, the hell with that. I'm going to say what? There's a fear factor up there. And he's still subjected to his fear factor So therefore, he won't have the strength and the desire, or he has the desire, but he don't have the strength to say being it is. Look, go back to the New Yorker magazine where they had Sister Michelle as a Black Power movement, and had him as a Arab closed up in Muslim God.
Mm-hmm.
The power is her. They knew that. They knew who the real strength is. She's the real strength. If he ever took the strength from what his wife actually had and speak like she would speak, like she had the testicles to say, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of this country. You know, she knew what she was talking about, and everybody else knew what she was talking about. He wouldn't have that kind of guts to say some things like that. But she will, because she's been grew up here. She came through the same things we done came through. So we know his masquerade, his plan, totally different. Totally different. So he really can't relate to us the way he should. And if we go back to his book, when he was saying he was looking for where he fit in, he was looking for his identity, because he knew he wasn't one of us 100%. Came up like we came up. He came up on the different side of the mountain, and you get a totally different experience. And that speaks to his weakness. Because if we remember what Harry Reid said, he's safe. He don't have a Negro dialect unless he want to. He fits in with us. He can talk the way we talk. He can carry the bags the way we carry. He's no threat to us. When you look at his policy, when you look at what Bush would do, well, I don't see no difference. I don't see no difference because he's no threat. They pointed him, remember the Time magazine? They showed a picture of him and Ronald Reagan, and they were merging the pictures. What is that telling us? The same ideas that was in Reagan is the same ideas in him. There is no difference. This is the same person. The same agenda is still going forward. So when we look, how is it that the voting thing has changed now? Where you gotta have this type of ID and this type of ID to go and vote. They're going against some things that already was supposed to be sacred. They're supposed to be untouchable. It's a Republican plan. He's a Republican. He just ain't coming out saying it like that. So when they fight in the court, why would you wait so late till the stuff is already passed to really start to try to do something about it? Come on now. Then the NAACP take it and go to the UN over some damn voting? But wait a minute. What is that telling us about our leadership? You go to the UN about some voting rights when these are the same people that bombed Libya. These are the same people that let these damn Zionists in Israel kill the Palestinians daily. These are the same people. You going to his brother on him. Like his brother really going to step in and say, hey, get the niggas they voting rights. The niggas done died for these rights. They done crossed bridges for these rights. You wrong. Hell no. They not going to open their mouth on that. If they can't open their mouth on what these damn Zionists doing to the Palestinians and the Palestinian land, you can forget it. Ben Jealous, you can forget it. It ain't gonna happen. And we gotta wake up to that fact and understand, if we gonna be free, if we really gonna be free, blood gotta flow. Christ, people gotta pay that price. Because freedom is not free. You fight for it. You don't go get a sign and say, I'm a man. Don't go beg somebody to give you. Go take what it is that's yours and you can have it. But they will never respect the beggar. They will never respect the slave. We can't, I don't give a damn how much money we got, will never rise above the condition of our people. I don't care who you are.
Oprah, she wanted to go buy a house. They said, we don't want you here. Shot the price up 4 or 5 times of what the original price was worth. She got the money, she got the house, but she had to pay way much more for it. To be around your enemy? You that dumb? She got her place called the Promised Land. Well, damn. She's the only damn person on it.
Well,
the rest of your people, Oprah?
Yeah, but we're talking about somebody who opened a school in her own name to teach black women in South Africa how to be just as assimilationist as she is. You know, she has a magazine named after herself. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. It was self. If you remember when they were trying to get the Olympics to Chicago and Obama flew what they called the... That star-studded package of Oprah Winfrey and Jesse Jackson, you know, all of the talented 10th, the upper blacks, they go over there and make this argument to bring the Olympics to Chicago, and it didn't work, you know. But it was just funny on who they pulled and how the press looked at this, and they were all entertainers. You know, I mean, look, Harry Belafonte was on Democracy Now! Not too long ago. And he said that he's spoken with Obama a couple of times already by that point. He says that Obama asked him the last time they were in contact, the last time he saw him face to face, he goes, when are you going to cut me some slack? You know, you and Jackson and, you know, so on, when are you going to cut me some slack? And Belafonte told Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now!, he said, well, she was like, well, how did you answer? He says, I told him, what makes you think we haven't cut you any slack? He's like, we've been cutting you slack since you've been in office, man.
Exactly.
You know, you want us to just go along with you and not question anything, you know, because he was, I guess, not happy with how Danny Glover and, you know, and Belafonte, of course, and several other people have been like, he's not doing anything. You know, I mean, Maya Angelou has come out and talking about how he's done a fantastic job and the black community needs to basically chill out because we're asking for too much. Steve Harvey, somebody I really don't care about, also did the same thing. He totally dissed Dr. Cornel West.
Oh, yeah.
And Tavis Smiley, telling him basically, I mean, he got personal about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about, oh, he's doing an excellent job. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, for somebody like you who doesn't pay taxes, and I don't know if he's a Republican, but I'm hearing about all these different hip-hop stars, all these different black entertainers, they've been voting Republican as soon as they made their first couple of million.
Exactly.
LL Cool J, you know, a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z, man. Jay-Z, we're hearing over here from behind me. You know, it's like, yeah, you have all of these names. Mm-hmm. You know, well, like Jay-Z, for example. A lot of people have criticized me. Why do you keep pointing to Jay-Z whenever you talk about what's wrong with hip-hop? I'm like, because he's the one that y'all point to as being number one in hip-hop. I don't listen to the music. I still listen to jazz and so on, man. You know, I say, but you guys are into this. Okay, fine. I'm mm-hmm. saying that at the position that he's in, I've seen him on the cover of financial magazines.
Exactly.
On the cover. Right?
Exactly.
Wearing a business suit, you know, flashing ice. So, you know, what I'm saying is ice is coming out of the diamond mines that black people are still suffering in South Africa.
Exactly.
All over Africa, for that matter, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, here he is, he's standing with these people. If they got him on the cover, what makes you think he identifies with you anymore?
Exactly.
And they're like, nah, man, Jay-Z. And I'm like, nah, wait a minute, Jay-Z, when this whole Occupy thing started, he could have, you know, kept the momentum going. Instead, he put out a t-shirt to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got criticized about it, he dropped it. You know, but then we're talking about ego. We're talking about he and his wife, Beyonce, who gets blonder and blonder every time I see her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rihanna, all of these superstars. And then, you know, they take over the entire wing of a hospital. People were denied medical care. But, you know, the fact that they even did something like this. Okay, yeah, well, they're superstars. They need that kind of... what have you. Go to a private sanatorium then. Don't go to a municipal hospital in a major city and take over a wing for yourself. And you're an entertainer? That's ridiculous. I mean, you got black people out here that can't even go to the doctor? That doesn't make any sense. You got black women out here that need obstetricians and can't get to them. You know, so it's
exactly.
Like, wait, no, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
And then you get the name of the... of the child copyrighted. You know, when black people here being ripped off left and right of their ideas and their genius and so on, and not just entertainment, I'm talking about the writers. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the people out here who are doing very serious things, and then it turns around that some company comes up from under them, takes their idea, makes millions, and leaves, the, you know, these brothers and sisters in the dirt. They end up with nothing. Brother Muhammad, if you could just throw out, you know, real quick, after Troy Davis, and we saw the silence with Mr. Obama on Troy Davis, Oscar Grant, Sean Bell, Ayanna Jones, Derek Jones. Now we have to add the name of Trayvon Martin to this roster of, you know, of brothers who have just been, you know, just had their lives snatched from under them. Where are we? How are we to turn on the political pressure when we have the NAACP who will go to Geneva, they will go to the World Court to argue for voting rights for themselves? And then you have the other extreme where you just have a lot of angry brothers who can't really articulate their anger, and you know, they're just spouting a lot of things that really don't make any sense, that they probably don't even mean, that put them in positions of where they're now being stared at by the state. There's got to be a middle ground that we can find that's going to work to articulate our issues, but at the same time realize that the way we have been doing things has obviously not worked. And how much pressure are we going to put on not just the black politicians that supposedly represent us, but also the black money elites like Jay-Z, like the Oprahs, you know, and the other Africans that have resources out there that we don't know their names because they're not, you know, trying to be superstars. But how much pressure are we going to put on them, like every other community does in the world? The Greek community does this to their leaders. The Armenian community does this with their leaders. The Arab communities from their various countries, respective schools of Islam or what have you, they all have, the gay lobby has their political organizations. What is it with Africans that we are stuck with people like the Reverend Al Sharpton?
Wow, brother, that's a big one. And unfortunately, you know, by me being a Muslim, my thing and what I'm taught is always what does God have to say? And when we analyze our problem, because it hasn't gotten any better, it has gotten worse since we integrated with these people, with into their system. God told us to come out, and we go deeper in. And the more deeper we go in, the worse we are. So the best thing for us to do is to start to obey God and come out. That is going to be our only saving grace, is that we come out and we build our own world. Other than that, we can forget it. If you just stop and think about, look at Father Divine, Daddy Grace, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, all of these that promoted and did do for self, we were always successful. When we were not integrated with the enemy, we were all better. But once we became integrated with this system, with this destructive thought pattern that is white supremacy, we begin to lose who we are. Then we begin to become on the level of beasts who don't even have, we lose our humanity. Just as our captains have lost their humanity. I watched on a PBS show where the white lady said, I didn't even realize that black people were human. They didn't realize it. And as when you look in our communities today and how we deal with one another, we don't act like we're dealing with humans, our humanity, because we now have the mark of the beast on our forehead and on our hands. So in order for us to change how we are, we gotta come out of this. We gotta come out of that mind of black inferiority and white supremacy. We have to come out of that way of dealing, that way of living. Because if we don't,
then it is over for us as a people. We can go back to, they did a report in 1965 called the Report on the Negro Family. And it even states in that report that we're not going to be able to get what it is that we think that we're going to be able to get. And they said, the big thing that they said in that report is that the thing that they got to fight against is the black Muslim doctrine. Because if it is accepted and taken here in the U.S., it's going to happen to us everywhere in the world. That's in their report that they did in 1965 called the Case for the Negro Family under Lyndon Johnson. That is our only way out. They knew it. They understood it. That's why they fight so hard to make this separate between the Muslims and the rest of us as a people. They don't want us going that way. Because if we go that way, what would the Nation of Islam, how would we thrive? We would thrive better than anything in this world. That the enemy wouldn't have nothing that they couldn't do.
Well, nothing. I used to remember as a young, you know, as a young child going to the temple bakery. Then you had the temple restaurants. That was the largest African-American business concern in the United States for decades.
Exactly.
And it was nationwide.
Exactly.
But after what happened with Malcolm, the split between Malcolm and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, that the people who came in behind were not thinking in terms of nationhood. They were thinking of lining their pockets.
Exactly.
And we can get into what happened with that, and also what happened with Clarence 13X, the founder of the nation of Nation of Gods and Earth, the Trayvon Martin case. Because I mean, there's just so much that can be said that we know is not going to be said. But since Brother Muhammad brought up an excellent point, you know, for those of you who have not read Message to the Black Man, you can find copies of it online, and I suggest that you look at it. I also suggest that you look at this for the knowledge, how to eat to live.
Yes.
And you know, I've made it pretty clear here. You know, religion doesn't mean anything to me, but you know, the knowledge. Right. Elijah Muhammad was one of our thinkers, and yeah. If you saw what he was able to do with Malcolm X, if you can understand that, then I think you can understand why it's important to look at his legacy, as with the other names that Brother Muhammad has mentioned, Marcus Garvey. You know, I mean, we don't, Black History Month just passed, and we didn't hear too much about Garvey, did we?
No,
we didn't hear much about Garvey. We didn't hear much about Tunis Campbell. We didn't hear much about Denmark Vesey. We didn't hear much about Gullah Jack. You know, there was just a whole lot of folks that could have been talked about. Robin Williams. In terms of, I mean, we actually had a government in exile in Tanzania led by Robert F. Williams, who led the, or was one of the main leaders of the Deacons for Defense, an organization that most white people would rather you not even know existed.
Exactly.
You know, and now that it can be talked about now, Brother Geronimo Pratt, the late Brother Geronimo Pratt, who left us, who has spent all those years in the hole, turns out that he was framed. Of course, like most of the other brothers and sisters from the Black Panther Party, but he was never a Black Panther. He worked along with them. He worked in concert with them. He was actually training them, but he came out of the school of Robert F. Williams, where the elders, they came out of the churches in the South, where the elders are like, look, you know, we have to get this together. You have King doing his thing, and you have Malcolm. We got to move. And, you know, we're forgetting this, that there was actually a government, the new African government, and we had a president, and we had a prime minister, and we had, you know, the economists and so on. Of course, it didn't last. It wasn't allowed to last. It wasn't allowed to work. And, you know, you had, you know, people with their own agendas that come to the group. Like you mentioned, Father Divine and so on. You know, these are names that a lot of people, you know, Reverend Ike and so on, you know, but these are names that a lot of folks had never heard of except to maybe laugh at and clown every now and again. But they were trying to build a foundation you know, more science. Hey, you know, I mean, they were trying to found, you know, to build a foundation. And for a lot of us, being that African people are spiritual people, not religious people, but we are spiritual people. Yeah. Many of our organizations, many of our movements have come out of our religious experience in this country. Okay, this is the Angry Indian. You've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio with the Honorable Brother Minister Maurice Muhammad out of Tennessee.
Thank you, beloved. It was definitely a pleasure, and always I love to come on. You have a great audience.
Okay, this is the Angry Indian and Brother Minister Maurice Muhammad reminding you that if you want to get the man up off your back, all you've got to do is stand up. Power to the people. Sing it.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power of making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
On May 2nd, the U.S. government put a $1 million bounty on the head of political exile Assata Shakur. What does that mean for us as a people? And what is her importance to our cause? And I know that y'all also was represented at a press conference in New York City with Charles Barron and Mos Def, you know, and voicing y'all support. You know, why? Why is Dead Press doing that? And who is Assata Shakur? And what is her importance to our struggle?
The U.S. government has once again openly declared war against the poor and oppressed people of the world. Once again, this declaration has come in the form of this $1 million bounty, which rests upon the head of not only Assata Shakur, but our movement. Because the most important thing about the bounty that they placed against Assata Shakur, who they call Joanne Chesimard, is that she represents the struggle inside our community that has not died. And that they know that with very quickly the spark can re-inflame what is going on all around our community. So it's sending a message to the future revolutionaries, don't become what we know will eventually happen. We retaliate from that kind of aggression against our people by saying Assata Shakur is welcome here. And that idea that Assata Shakur is welcome here should be adopted by every hood, every blood, every Crip, every Latin king. It should be adopted by every old folk home, every school, Boy Scout club. Assata Shakur is welcome here is the identity that the government is not welcome in our lives and will not be tolerated, violating our basic rights of humanity. So I think those are the forces at play, and Assata Shakur is being used as primarily as that case. We say hands off Assata Shakur, and we will keep her safe by any and all means necessary. And we were represented at the press conference in New York City, you know, like I said, which of many places is gaining a momentum, like all across our country in the African community, Atlanta and down here in L.A., we ready, willing, and able. So just within a quick time of organization, people like the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, which includes the Free Your Hood Committee, and organizations like the Grassroots Artists Movement, Charles Barron in the city council, in the government, and cultural workers like Mos Def and ourselves were gathered to send a resolution that the bounty should be taken off of Assata Shakur's head.
Go ahead, ready?
I'm Forrest Whitaker for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and this is my daughter, True.
Hi.
Life is full of choices. And many years ago, I chose to become a vegetarian. And it's one of the best choices I've ever made. And since True's dad was a vegetarian, she decided to be a vegetarian too. You may decide to go vegetarian for better health, for a better environment. Or you could be like True and I and just decide you don't want to eat meat anymore.
I love animals and I love being a vegetarian.
I'm Forrest Whitaker.
And I'm True Whitaker. And we're vegetarians.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
Pues aquí de mano la aventura Radio Bemba, toda la familia ahí que estamos en Europa, estamos en Coato, Arizona, y con vosotros a fuerte para todo lo que sea.
Mi vida va prohibida.
Radio Bemba, mano, chao, fuerte con vosotros siempre.
Solo voy con mi.
Free Leonard. It is mind-blowing for us to be here, now, at this late hour, with Leonard Peltier still in chains. Books have been written, documentaries have been produced, congressmen have joined his freedom campaign, all for naught. For Leonard Peltier, a former leader of the American Indian Movement, AIM, is still not free. That, to anyone with a soul, is a damn shame. Many Peltier supporters put their trust in a politician named Bill Clinton, who told them that when he got elected, he wouldn't forget about the Native American leader. Their trust, like those of so many others, was betrayed once Clinton gained the office and the FBI protested. In the waning days of his presidency, he issued pardons to folks like Mark Rich and other wealthy campaign contributors. Leonard Peltier was left in his chains. I won't restate the obvious. Leonard's innocence, the blatantly unfair trial, the crooked tricks that led to his extradition. Others may do that. What is needed is more support, not from two-faced politicians, but from the people, the many, who, like me and you, know injustice when we see it. Join the movement to free Leonard Gwath-Elas, or he who leads the people. Build it, for only a mass movement can bring freedom. Thank you. On the move, long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
This is Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers. We hate Jews. We hate faggots. And we hate specs. We don't have to have a reason to hate. People need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You have been listening to Angrindian Radio. AngrindianRadio.blogspot.com.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.